project a little bit there and try to get everybody involved here. As we have in the bulletin, and what we'd like to discuss this morning is about the walls coming tumbling down. We sing that song often about the walls falling, and the Word of God, of course, we know just from experience and our own learning of history that walls signify strength and protection and security. Cities used to build walls around them to protect themselves. It was a demonstration of their strength and their security. When God sent the spy, or Moses sent the spies into the land of Canaan, they reported that they were fortified cities. Well, they were fortified with walls around them. And that strength was one thing that caused 10 of those spies to say, well, we just can't take the land. They're so protected, they're so strong that we can't do it. But of course, they could do it when they had faith in God to do God's will, and the next generation did. What I'd like for us to study this morning is about the tale of two cities whose walls fell. Now, the tale of one of those cities, Jericho, was a tale of God's blessing of victory. God told them, I have given you the city. And in Joshua 6, we see a number of statements about in the giving of the city, the walls, of course, would fall. Joshua 6 and verse 2, I've given Jericho into your hand. Again in verse 16, the Lord has given you the city. And then in verse 20, when the people shouted and the priests blew the trumpets, that it says that the wall fell down flat and they took the city. A great victory on that day, a victory of faith, the victory of God's great favor for His people Israel. That was the first victory in the land of Canaan, by the way. First victory as God, by Joshua, led His people into Israel. But there was another city whose walls fell, and that was the city of Jerusalem. In fact, more than once, historically. We're going to talk about the first time the walls of Jerusalem fell, because of the invasion of Babylon and a destruction that came as God's curse against her sin. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 and 48, the Word of God by Moses, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before this happened, God told Israel, verse 47 of Deuteronomy 28, that because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies. And then in verse 52, it says, they shall besiege you at your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. So when Israel acted in faith, God blessed them with great victories and the walls came down at Jericho. But when Israel turned away from God, turned to in faithlessness to false gods and immoralities of the land, and would not repent, God brought devastation, and the walls throughout their land, including the walls of Jerusalem, fell. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and verse 19, concerning the armies of Babylon, it said, they burned the house of God, they burned the temple that Solomon had built. They broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. A truly horrible scene of destruction as God's promised curse, His punishment against their sin. Now, as we reflect upon the great victory of walls falling and the great defeat of walls falling, we need to see pictures concerning Mount Zion today, the heavenly Jerusalem, the Church of Christ. Because in Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23, it says, we have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. There's a picture of Jerusalem with Mount Zion and in the distance, beyond the brook Kidron, the Mount of Olives. This is the Valley of Hinnom in the foreground of this photo. And in Hebrews 12:23, he uses the term Mount Zion to refer to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We are citizens of Zion. We'll sing at the invitation song, Zion's call sweetly rings. The city of God is calling out. God's people are calling out a message of salvation. Prophetically, Jerusalem, that is the new Jerusalem, that is the church, a prophecy, is described as having walls of salvation. Isaiah 26 is set in contrast to the Jerusalem that fell because of her sins. In Isaiah 26:1, it says, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The application of that prophecy was not to physical Jerusalem, but to the church. The Jerusalem of the new covenant. And so in chapter 60 and verse 18 of Isaiah, he talks again about the walls of that city, of the prophetic Zion, the church, when he says, violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Salvation is in Zion, in Jerusalem today, the new Jerusalem, that is the church. Our walls are salvation. We are protected and secured by salvation that comes from God. Not in walls we build, not walls that our hands have constructed, but which God has built of salvation from sin, protection against the devil. And so we enter gates of praise as we are protected by the salvation that's in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The question before us, like it was to physical Israel, the Israel of God today has set before us a blessing and a curse. God set a blessing and a curse before Israel. And He said, if you will be obedient to me, if you'll follow my word, I will bless you in the land. None of your enemies will stand before you. You will overpower them. You will have victory over them. But if you turn away from me, he said, then curses will ensue. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, Moses said, as God speaking through his prophet, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Just as God promised Israel the land, abundant blessing, if they would choose life, if they would choose God, if they would love God and obey His will. But if they would not, then blessing and curses would come, or curses rather than blessings would come. And so in Hebrews 12, as he says, now we've come to Mount Zion. We are citizens of the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church. He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Now, the kingdom of Israel in Jerusalem, with walls surrounding it, was shaken by Babylon. It would later be shaken by the armies of Rome. But the city that we are citizens of, the church, God's people, we're protected by salvation. We enter it with praise. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken by men. So what does He tell us to do? Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. That part has not changed. You see, God blessed ancient Israel and He brought His punishment, His wrath against their sin when they refused to repent. In the same way, we as the people of God, we're part of a kingdom that man is not going to destroy. We have a responsibility. We choose to serve God acceptably, but what if we don't? Like Israel, what if we turn to other things? To faithless idols, powerless idols. Well, be assured our God is a consuming fire. Let us instead serve God acceptably with honor and piety, with reverence and a fear of God. And so, ancient Israel, as well as Jericho, become lessons for us. And that's what we're going to study in the rest of our time this morning is look at when the walls tumbled down in these two cities. When the walls tumbled down at Jericho is because of faith. God's grace and their faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." They didn't fall down just because Israel said, "We know You have the power to save us, God. We believe You're going to save us, God. We pray that You save us, God." But when God spoke to them and told them what to do, when they obeyed Him, when they trusted Him, when they had encircled it for 7 days, that's when the walls fell down by faith. That's an object lesson for saving faith today. The nations in the land were stronger than Israel. 7 nations, Deuteronomy 7:1. But God assured Joshua, "I will be with you. I will protect you. No one will defeat you as you walk in My way." They trusted God's deliverance. And by faith, when they encircled the city 7 days, the walls fell. The walls tumbled. Well, you see, in a similar way, we are called upon, because we've been born of God, to walk by faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Now, how are you going to overcome the world? The world is so much bigger than you, so much bigger than me. Like those nations were so much stronger than Israel, how are you going to overcome the world? Well, the verse says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So when will our faith overcome the world? Is it a once saved, always saved power? Is it a faith only power? What kind of faith is going to overcome the world? The same faith that overcame Jericho. God's power was applied when Israel had faith to do what God said. And when we live by faith, we have a victory. But it's no victory if we say we trust God but then don't do His will. There's no victory there. There's no faith there. So let's learn from Jericho what really happened there. God gave them the city. That's His grace. That's His gift. But He said, "You do what I tell you. You walk around it once a day for 6 days. And the seventh day, you walk around it for 7 times and you be quiet all the time. And on that 7th day, you blow the trumpets and you shout after you've walked around it 7 times and the walls will fall." We're going to come back to that. But I want you to see very clearly why the walls fell. They fell because of a faith that trusted God and did what He said. Jerusalem, on the other hand, her walls fell because of faithlessness. Because she did not trust God. She stopped trusting God. She began to trust in idols. She began to trust in herself. She began to trust in the walls that she had built. And they did not secure her. In Jeremiah 5, verses 10 through 13, God tells Jeremiah, and this is a message that He's going to run to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem, verse 1. And this is a message to Jerusalem. It says, "Go up on her walls." And now He's describing the enemy coming upon them. "Go up on her walls and destroy. but do not make a complete end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says the Lord. They have lied about the Lord and said, it is not He. That is, you see, the lying prophet said, Babylon's not going to come against you. No, God's going to defeat the Babylonians. You're secure behind the walls of the city. That's what the false prophets were saying. And here stood Jeremiah. And he said, no, God's bringing Babylon upon us because of our sins. These prophets are lying about God. They said, neither will evil come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. They saw all of those. The prophets become wind, for the word is not in them, thus it shall be done to them. God's word wasn't in them. The people were faithless, and the false prophets encouraged their faithlessness by giving them false messages. Well, that happens today, doesn't it? That still happens. But in Jeremiah 16 then, if you look at verses 10 through 13, you see the depth of the unbelief of their faithlessness. It shall be, when you show this people all these words, that they'll say to you, Jeremiah, here's what they're going to say to you in response. Why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? What is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods. They have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart so that no one listens to me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. God's very clear there. You have forsaken me, verse 11. You have turned to other gods, idolatry, verse 11. You are disobedient to my law, verse 11. You are stubborn and rebellious in your hearts, verse 12. Therefore, I'm going to cast you out. That's why the disaster was coming upon them. They didn't trust God. Now, we are the Zion of God today. We are the New Jerusalem under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. So the question begs to be asked, and we must answer, what are we trusting in? What are we serving today? They trusted in the walls they had built. Moses prophesied, your enemy is going to destroy you because you trusted in the walls you built. They had built their riches. You know, before Babylon destroyed Jerusalem was one of the most prosperous times of Judah. Manasseh, a very wicked king, but for over 50 years, they prospered right before they were destroyed because they trusted in their riches. They trusted in false gods. They trusted in error. But what do we trust today? The gospel tells us not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. 1 Timothy 6:17. A nation will not be secured by its material wealth, nor will individuals. We must be secured in trusting the living God. Errors of men that are against the gospel of Jesus, Galatians 1:8. Though we are an angel from heaven teaching the gospel other than that which we've preached to you, let him be accursed. It matters what doctrine we follow. Amen. Reputation, will we trust in that? There was a church in Sardis that had a name that it was alive, but it was dead. We cannot trust in a reputation rather than in the living God. The church in Laodicea said, we're rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing. They trusted in themselves and their prosperity. You see, Jerusalem's walls fell because they stopped trusting God. They turned faithlessly to other things. Do we expect to be protected in Zion today if we turn to those things that will not protect us? No, our trust must be in the living God. Well, let's look also at Jericho. Her walls fell because they obeyed. We've talked about that some. It's a very clear point. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" They were responsive. They were obedient. They were submissive to God. And God blessed them with the reward. God made the walls fall down. It's God that saved them. But without their faith, God wouldn't have saved them. Very obvious. Well, the city of Jerusalem, on the other hand, was disobedient. We read that verse in Jeremiah 16. But you know there's an important one in Isaiah 29 before we go through this further. That Isaiah had said, and Isaiah prophesied about roughly 100 years, give and take, before Babylon began to encroach upon and ultimately destroy Jerusalem. The Lord said, "Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips." Now, these are the people who had turned to other gods, Jeremiah said. And the other prophets identified. They've turned to idols, and yet they're worshiping God with their mouth. Now, imagine that. You say, "Oh, we would not do that. But if we put anything before God, we're doing the same thing today." Covetousness is idolatry, Colossians 3:5. Anything before we serve God first is our idol. So these people draw near with their mouths and their heart. They honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me. We decide where our hearts are. They had decided to remove their hearts far from God. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. See, but men were teaching them, "Don't fear Babylon. Go about your business. God's going to save you," even though they were in there practicing their idolatry and ungodliness. And so any fear they had of God was anchored upon the teachings of men. And that was no fear of God at all. That can happen today. A lot of people say, "I fear God," but follow a false doctrine about how to be saved. Follow a false doctrine about how to worship God. Follow a false doctrine about what the church is. It's a fear of God taught by the commandment of men. And that will not save. Their walls fell down. "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It came to Ezekiel and said, "Let's go hear what the prophet has to say." Oh, aren't those good words? But then they went away and did as they pleased. We must never develop that kind of a sinful attitude toward the Word of God. Here's what it says, and then turn away and do as we please. That's why the walls fell in Jerusalem. Jericho's walls fell because they purified themselves. You remember before they came across the Jordan, Joshua told the people, "Sanctify yourself." In Joshua 3, there in verse 5, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And he parted the Jordan and they crossed over. And then before Jericho, they circumcised themselves. They had not been circumcised in the wilderness, that generation that grew up in the wilderness. So they circumcised themselves according to the law, identifying themselves as the covenant people of God. Even so, we, when we're baptized into Christ, undergo the circumcision of Christ, the cutting away of the sins of the flesh. Colossians 2:11-12. We're to be identified as the people of God. So we're to come out and be separate, sanctified, holy. The walls fell because Israel was pure before God. We cannot expect victory over the enemy if we choose defilement in our lives. And that's what Jerusalem did. They chose defilement. Sin separated them from their God. Isaiah 59. Verses 1 through 4. Lamentations 1, 8 and 9. On and on. The verses could be shown where it was sin. Israel's sin and their refusal to repent that brought their walls down. But the application is for us. You see, sin breaches the walls of Zion. When we choose sin, the devil has an opening where he tears down the wall of protection. In Ezekiel, the 42nd chapter, all the way through the 44th chapter, is a very detailed, figurative description of the city of God and the temple of God, of which we are citizens and members of today. We're living stones in that prophetic city and temple that Ezekiel saw, and the city with its protective wall. And he said that wall was there for separation between what was holy and what was profane. You see, we can't be residents in Jerusalem today, in Mount Zion, in the church, and live in sin. Well, we're not with God. We're separated from God if we do that. The wall of holiness has lost its protection, has been breached when we choose the defilement of sin in our lives. There again, Ezekiel, it is that here in this prophetic city that it's to be taught, there's to be taught a difference. My people are to be taught a difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Christians are to perfect holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, that we make the choice of faith to separate ourselves from the sin of the world. If not, if we go back to wallowing in the mire, then we won't have a wall of holiness and salvation protecting us. That wall falls down, and we face God's wrath. The picture is very clear as we look at these ancient cities and what the gospel teaches us to do. Jericho's walls fell because of self-denial. Imagine, that was no small task for about 600,000 men of war, soldiers. We're not talking about just a handful of 20 or 30. 600,000. Now that's roughly, and it's rough, but that's roughly six times the size of Bellingham. Six times that size. That many soldiers. And every day, they were to march silently around Jericho. And then the seventh day, they would do it seven times, not saying a word. Imagine that. 600,000 people. Must have been crowded. Dry. Not very comfortable, probably. I wouldn't think it would be. You ever been in a crowd of 100,000 people? 10,000? 600,000. Self-denial. Now, suppose some of them could have said, well, that's ridiculous. Why do I need to do that? Like Naaman. The rivers of Damascus are far better than that dirty old Jordan that Elisha says to go and dip seven times in to be healed of your leprosy. That's ridiculous to think you have to get in water to be baptized, to be saved. You see how we think? That's ridiculous. Why can't I go dance? Everybody else does it. What's the big deal? And what about, go down the list of the immoral impurities of the day. But you see, self-denial produced victory. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, He said, if you even desire to come after me, deny yourself daily and take up your cross and follow me. You want to follow me? He said, daily deny yourself. Not just on Sundays. Daily denial. So we have to strengthen our faith, don't we? Because you see, Jerusalem's walls fell because of self-indulgence. Ezekiel talked about that. There would be no protection for them in the day of the Lord's wrath from their silver and gold. He said, you'll throw it out in the street. It'll be worthless in that day. And it was. They couldn't buy their way out of their destruction. And if we love the world, understand, we're not going to be able to either. Don't love the world or the things of the world. Don't become an enemy of God. Because if we do, by loving the world, then the walls are going to fall. Because of our self-indulgence, we're going to face God's wrath. So, blessings and curses are set before us. Just as in the law, God said, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. We've seen today that that which Romans 11 and 22 describes, as he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews and the salvation of the gospel, he said, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. We want to consider the goodness of God, but we also need to consider the severity of God. He said, consider them both. On those who fell, severity. On those, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Victory in Christ comes because of faith and obedience and purity and self-denial, just like it came in the day when Jericho's walls fell. It came for Israel. But the wrath of God comes if we choose faithlessness, disobedience, defilement, and self-indulgence. Consider the goodness and the severity. We've got to continue in His goodness. You see, the church has the walls of salvation around it. We enter with the gates with praise to God for His marvelous grace, for His loving kindness and forgiveness. And as we do that, we are taught we cannot neglect the salvation that we have. Hebrews 2, you see, is because of Jerusalem's neglect of faith that eventually her walls fell. Hebrews 2, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, that was the Old Testament, and punishment or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We will not. And so let's live in Zion with praise, with reverence and godly fear. Let us be protected by the walls of holiness. Let us be faithful and obedient, purifying ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you're not a Christian, you need to come into the walled city. You need to come where the protection is. You need to have the faith to repent of your sins against God. You need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He'll add you to His church. You'll reside as a citizen in His kingdom. But you have to remain faithful to Him. And if we sin, let us repent. Let us return to the holiness that we're called to and the salvation that protects us. We can help you accomplish that in your life, to respond in faith, to do God's will, and be saved by His grace through your faith. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?